Have you ever looked at the regional airline map and noticed how many of those short hops burn a ridiculous amount of jet fuel just getting up to altitude? Flying 150 miles and coming right back down. I'm Vector on Clear Direct, here on Radio Hangar, and today we're digging into one of the most quietly ambitious electric aviation programs on the planet. Not an air taxi, not an eVTOL, a real honest-to-goodness 30-seat regional airliner with wings and a conventional fuselage, designed to plug into routes that already exist. I'm talking about Heart Aerospace and the ES-30. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones in your flying life. First solo, private pilot, instrument-rated CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. So let's break this down. Heart Aerospace is based in Gothenburg, Sweden, founded in 2018 by Anders Forslund, an engineer who looked at the electric aviation landscape and made a decision that I think was genuinely smart. Instead of chasing the air taxi market, where you have got about 40 companies fighting over the same urban mobility dollar, he aimed at the regional airline segment. The bread and butter 200 to 250 nautical mile routes that connect small cities to hubs, routes like Gothenburg to Stockholm. Or, in the US context, think something like Cincinnati to Chicago or Raleigh to Atlanta. Now, here is where the engineering gets interesting. The original concept, called the ES-19, was a fully electric 19-seat airplane. Pure battery, no combustion at all, and for a while it looked promising. But then Heart did something that a lot of startups in this space refused to do. They looked at the battery energy density numbers honestly and they pivoted. The data tells an interesting story. Current lithium-ion battery packs deliver somewhere around 200 to 250 watt-hours per kilogram at the pack level. Jet fuel gives you about 12,000 watt-hours per kilogram. That is roughly a 50-to-1 energy density gap. You can close some of that with the efficiency advantages of electric motors, which convert energy to thrust far more efficiently than turbines do. But you cannot close all of it. Not for a 30-seat airplane flying 200 nautical miles with reserves. So Heart went hybrid. The ES-30 carries battery packs in the belly and two turbogenerators mounted on the rear fuselage. On short routes under 100 nautical miles, the airplane can fly on batteries alone. Pure electric, zero direct emissions. On longer routes up to 215 nautical miles, the turbogenerators kick in and supplement the battery power. And in a reserves-only scenario, the airplane can stretch to 250 nautical miles. Now, some people in the electric aviation community called this a retreat. I call it engineering maturity. Here's what most people miss. The hybrid architecture does not lock you in. As battery technology improves over the next decade, and it will, Heart can increase the battery fraction and reduce the fuel burn proportionally. The airframe does not care. The electric motors do not care. You just swap in denser battery packs and the range on pure electric power grows. It is a future-proof design in a way that a pure combustion airframe simply is not. Let's talk about the propulsion system itself, because it is not what you might expect. The ES-30 uses two electric motors driving propellers on the wings. Each motor produces around 800 kilowatts. That is roughly 1,070 horsepower per side. These are not small motors. They are driving large diameter propellers optimized for cruise efficiency in the 200 to 250 knot speed range. The turbogenerators in the back are not connected to the propellers at all. They generate electricity that feeds into the same power bus as the batteries. So, from the motor's perspective, electrons are electrons. It does not matter where they came from. This is fundamentally different from a parallel hybrid, like what you might know from automotive. In a parallel hybrid car, both the electric motor and the combustion engine can drive the wheels directly. Heart is using a series hybrid architecture where combustion never touches the prop shaft. The turbogenerators are just flying power plants, generators in the purest sense. The advantage of this for pilots and for certification is significant. You have a much simpler mechanical drivetrain, no gearbox combining two power sources, no clutch engagement between combustion and electric. The failure modes are cleaner, the redundancy is more straightforward, and the system's integration is less of a nightmare for the certification engineers at the European Union Aviation Safety Agency, or EASA, which is the primary certification authority for this program. Speaking of certification, Heart is targeting entry into service around 2028 to 2029 under EASA's CS23 amendment framework for commuter category aircraft. That timeline has already slipped from the original 2026 target, which honestly should surprise nobody. Every electric and hybrid aviation program has slipped. Eviation, Alice, slipped. Joby slipped. Lilium slipped before it went bankrupt and came back. The certification gauntlet for a new propulsion architecture is brutal. And anyone telling you different is selling something. But Heart has some things working in its favor. First, the airplane is a conventional configuration. Fixed wing, tail-mounted horizontal stabilizer, tricycle gear, pressurized cabin. EASA knows how to certify this shape. The novelty is in the propulsion, not the aerodynamics. Compare that to a tilt-rotor EVTOL, where the certification authorities are essentially writing the rulebook as they go. Heart is asking EASA to certify a new engine type on an old airframe concept. That is a much simpler regulatory conversation. Second, the investor and partner list is serious. United Airlines has placed a pre-order. Scandinavian airline, SAS, has placed an order. Air Canada has expressed interest. Mesa Air Group signed on. And crucially, Saab, the Swedish aerospace company, is both an investor and an aerostructures partner. When Saab builds your fuselage, you are not a garage startup anymore. Let me talk about what this airplane actually looks like from a pilot's perspective. The cockpit is designed around a modern glass flight deck. Two crew, think clean, integrated displays, fly-by-wire flight controls, and a power management interface that is genuinely new as a pilot in the ES-30. You are managing battery state of charge, turbo generator output, motor power distribution, and thermal limits simultaneously. This is not throttle up, throttle down. You are managing an energy system, not just an engine. Heart has talked about automating most of that energy management so the pilots can focus on flying the airplane, which is absolutely the right call. But it does raise interesting questions about training. The mental model for a hybrid electric propulsion system is fundamentally different from what we teach pilots today. When you pull power back in a conventional turboprop, fuel flow drops and the propeller adjusts. In the ES-30, reducing thrust might mean the system prioritizes battery charging from the turbogenerators, or it might mean the turbogenerators spool down while batteries handle the load. The logic depends on the flight phase, the state of charge, and the range remaining. Pilots will need to develop intuition for energy state, not just power state. Now, let me give you the honest engineering challenges, because they are real. Thermal management is problem number one. Batteries generate heat when discharging. Motors generate heat under load. Power electronics generate heat converting between DC and AC. The turbogenerators generate heat because they are literally burning fuel. All of this heat has to go somewhere, and you're in a pressurized tube at altitude where the outside air temperature might be minus 40 degrees, but your internal components are begging for cooling. The thermal management system on the ES-30 is likely one of the heaviest and most complex subsystems on the airplane, and Heart has been relatively quiet about the specifics. That tells me they are still iterating. Weight is problem number two. Batteries are heavy. A 30-seat airplane needs a lot of energy. Even in the hybrid configuration, the battery mass is significant. Heart has not published exact battery weights, but reasonable estimates based on the performance numbers suggest somewhere north of 3,000 kilograms just in batteries. That is 6,600 pounds of battery mass in a 30-seat commuter airplane. That weight eats directly into payload and range. And then there is the infrastructure question. Regional airports are not set up for megawatt-scale charging. A full battery replenishment between flights at a regional airport will require dedicated ground power infrastructure that simply does not exist today. Heart and its partners will need to build this out in parallel with the airplane certification, or the airplane becomes an airplane with nowhere to charge. But here's the thing. None of these problems are physics problems. They are engineering problems, and there is a huge difference. Physics problems have hard limits. Engineering problems have solutions that get better over time. Batteries will get lighter. Thermal systems will get more efficient. Charging infrastructure will be built because the economics will demand it. And the economics are the real story here. Regional airlines operate on razor-thin margins. Fuel is typically 30 to 40% of operating cost on a short-haul turboprop route. If the ES-30 can cut that fuel bill by 50 to 70% on a typical 200 nautical mile stage length, the direct operating cost savings are enormous. Even if the purchase price is higher than a comparable turboprop, the fuel savings compound every single flight, every single day. Airlines are very good at math, and the math here is compelling. That is why I think the regional hybrid electric segment is where electric aviation actually arrives first at meaningful scale. Not air taxis doing 5-mile hops across cities. Not cargo drones dropping packages. A real airplane with real passengers on real routes, saving real money on fuel while cutting emissions. It is not as sexy as a flying car, but it might actually work. Hart is not alone in this space, by the way. Faraday Air in the United Kingdom has been working on a similar concept with the BEHA, a hybrid electric utility aircraft, and the established turboprop manufacturers are watching closely. ATR and de Havilland Canada both know that hybrid electric propulsion is coming for their market segment. The question is whether Hart gets there first with a clean sheet design or the incumbents retrofit hybrid systems onto existing airframes. My bet, and I want to be clear, this is informed speculation, is that Hart's clean sheet approach has the advantage. Designing around hybrid electric from day one means optimized aerodynamics, optimized weight distribution, optimized systems integration. Retrofitting a new propulsion type onto an airframe designed around turbine engines means compromise at every turn. That said, 2028 is the earliest realistic entry into service, and I would not be shocked if it slips to 2030. The certification path is long, the technology integration is hard, and Hart will need to demonstrate reliability data that satisfies both regulators and airline customers. Nobody wants to be the airline that buys the first hybrid electric airplane and then can't dispatch it because the battery management system throws a fault every third Tuesday. Most of my information today comes from Hart Aerospace's published specifications and public presentations at aviation conferences, reporting from Aviation Week and Electrek and EASA's publicly available certification frameworks. If you want to follow Hart's progress, their website at hartaerospace.com has regular updates. If you're interested in where this technology is headed, keep your eye on Gothenburg. Swing by radiohanger.com for more. I'm Vector, fly smart, and I'll catch you on the next one.